I'm very happy to introduce tonight Deacon Cole Daly, who's going to be with us this year. He's from the Diocese of Lafayette, Indiana. Many of you probably remember Deacon Thomas Hahn, now Father Thomas Hahn, who was with us about 4 years ago from the same diocese. So Deacon Daly is finishing up his studies at Mount St. Mary's Seminary this year. He will be with us as often as he can on the weekends for Saunders boot camp preparation for ordination. But then also, we want to keep him in our prayers so that he continues to progress in that firm commitment to be a faithful priest for our Savior Jesus Christ. So make sure you welcome our good Deacon Cole Daly. So, with that all in mind, I forgot to mention, because this is important, he's from Kokomo, Indiana. I've never known anyone from Kokomo, so we're happy to have someone finally from Kokomo. So, just an interesting name. But anyway, so, going to our gospel. Our dear Lord says, "If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters," doesn't sound right, does it? Hating. When we're little children, we're taught, well, you shouldn't really hate anyone. In our society today, we even have official hate crimes. So what is Jesus saying about hating? A part of the problem is just the Jewish language. The Jewish people used to use this verb hate to make a comparison, maybe even an extreme comparison. What Jesus is saying is that unless you love me more than mother, father, and so on. So that's the idea here. He's not really saying you have to hate. No, you have to love me first and foremost. Keep in mind, God does deserve the first absolute primacy within our heart, our soul. God deserves first place. God deserves our whole love. This is why the first great commandment is love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul. However, we also keep in mind that only by loving God first and foremost can we then love as we should mother, father, husband, wife, children, and so on. That's why the second great commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. But God has to come first. Jesus is true God. Therefore, he too commands and deserves this absolute primacy of our love. He deserves to be first. We truly believe he's the second person of the Holy Trinity, consubstantial with the Father. He, true God, became true man to perfectly reveal God's love to us. He did this through his teachings. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." This is important because to truly love, one has to know truth. Without truth, there cannot be love. Only when the two work together can there then be justice. Only with justice can there be real peace. Our Lord fulfilled his commandment of love when he went to that cross. There he poured forth the infinite love of God, offering the sacrifice for our sin and rising to give us the hope of everlasting life. We're called then to love Jesus with our whole heart, mind, and soul. As Pope Benedict oftentimes said, it's Jesus who puts that face on God. It's Jesus who shows us how to love. So our Lord says then, if you want to be my disciple, you have to carry your cross and come after me. Well, the cross is the symbol of love. Keep in mind, though, that when you and I were baptized and when we were confirmed, the cross was sealed on our forehead. The idea being, the cross is sealed on our soul. We're called to love Jesus first, and in so doing, then, to love others. It's wonderful that this weekend we have a real example of how we put this into action. Tomorrow morning, Pope Francis will officially canonize Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta. She'll now be declared a saint. I realize that for some of our young people, they may not have a familiarity with Mother Teresa since she died in 1997. I feel very blessed that I actually was able to meet her once in 1982 when she was here in Washington and Bishop Welsh invited her to come over and talk to us seminarians. So it was a great thrill to meet Mother Teresa. But Mother Teresa was born in 1910 in what today would be Macedonia. At age 18, she entered the Sisters of Loreto, an Irish community, trained for a while, and then, shortly thereafter, was sent to India to be a missionary teaching sister at one of their schools. So time goes on. In 1946, though, as she was traveling on a train ride, she had like this mystical experience. Jesus said to her, "Come, be my light." Jesus told her that I want you to start a new religious community, the Missionaries of Charity, who would take care of the poorest of the poor. In a way, our Lord was saying, I want you to love the way I loved and to show that love for others. 2 years later, she had official permission to do so, so she began her little community. At first, there may be four sisters all together, but now, today, there's over 4,000 who serve throughout 123 countries, including many states in our own country. Mother Teresa, though, leaves a beautiful legacy of how we're called to be these disciples, to bear that cross, to love Jesus first and foremost. First of all, every day, she took time to pray. When she arose in the morning, she would go to her chapel. In all the chapels of the Missionaries of Charity, and I've been fortunate to have been to several of them, in the chapel there's always the tabernacle, of course. There's a large crucifix. But near the face of Jesus on the crucifix are written the words, "I thirst." These are the dying words of our Lord. This is to remind us that Jesus was thirsting for our love. How do we quench that thirst? By showing his love to others. So Mother would be there for an hour, and she would, as part of her prayer routine, hold out her hands and say, "Jesus, give me the food I need to feed your hungry, the clothing for your naked, the medicine for your sick, the shelter for your dying and your homeless." She trusted that our Lord would provide. She never did any fundraising. None of her sisters to this day do any official fundraising. They receive donations, but they do not fundraise. They depend upon our Lord. Well, after the hour of prayer, she would attend Mass, receive Holy Communion, and then she would go to the streets. She says to us, though, "Love to pray. Feel often during the day the need for prayer and take trouble to pray. Prayer enlarges the heart until it is capable of containing God's gift of himself. Ask and see, and your heart will grow big enough to receive him and keep him as your own." Take time for prayer. To love Jesus means to spend time, first of all, with him. Part of her prayer, too, was examination. Many people don't realize, I think, that Mother Teresa went to confession once a week. And one would have to ask, what did she do? Well, maybe it was just the slightest venial sin, most likely something more internal than external. But she so loved our Lord that she didn't want even the slightest sin to somehow separate her from being totally in love with Christ. Because of that prayer, though, Mother Teresa could then enact that love by going out to serve the poorest of the poor. So she would go out to take care of the sick, the dying, the hungry, and so on at her various homes. So she wanted, though, not just to be the good deed doer or a social worker, she wanted to show the love of Christ. hopefully then to bring people to that love of Christ. For instance, Pope John Paul II invited her to open a home in Rome to take care of homeless and so on. So she and her sisters did. And as they were getting their house ready and so on, they also went through the neighborhood to see who was really in need. It was a poor area. And they came across this one man who was very elderly. One knew that he was living in squalor. They went to his apartment. They saw the miserable condition in which he lived. So over the course of several weeks, they would go there. They cleaned his apartment. They visited him twice a day, bringing him two meals so that he'd have something to eat. And after about 6 weeks, he said to the sisters, he said, "You have shown me the love of Christ. I'm a Catholic, but I haven't been to confession or Mass for 60 years. But now I want to come back." How beautiful. Mother Teresa told the story of how in Calcutta she was walking along and she saw a man really in the gutter, dying in Calcutta. He was covered with wounds. There were worms, maggots, even in the wounds. So she and her sisters took the man back to their home for the dying. She knew he was going to die, but they took him back. They bathed him. They dressed the wounds. They put him in a clean bed. And the poor man said, "You have shown me the love of Jesus. I want to believe too." The man was a Hindu. But that's the key. Mother Teresa showed the love of Christ and then turned souls to the love of Christ. She said when she received the Nobel Peace Prize in 1979, "It hurt Jesus to love us. It hurt him. And to make sure we remember his great love, he made himself the bread of life to satisfy our hunger for his love, our hunger for God, because we have been created for that love. We have been created in his image. We have been created to love and be loved. And he has become man to make it possible for us to love as he loved us. He makes himself the hungry one, the naked one, the homeless one, the sick one, the one in prison, the lonely one, the unwanted one. And he says, 'You did it to me.' He is hungry for our love. And this is the hunger of our poor people. This is the hunger that you and I must find. It may be in your own home." Those are very striking words. Think about your own home, or maybe your relatives, especially the elderly, those who may not have anyone. Even think of the neighborhood. What can we do to bring the love of others to Christ? But again, it's not just about doing good deeds. It's not about social work. Mother spoke the truth. Again, remember, love and truth work together, because only then, only with truth, can we love the way God wants us to and do what is just and foster peace. So Mother Teresa, whether it was at some graduation convocation or whether it was some other assembly, whether it was before college students, just regular lay people, clergy, or before bishops, or even before the most powerful people in the world, she never stopped speaking the truth. She spoke about what violates the love of God. She spoke about those sins against the dignity of the human being, sins like abortion, contraception, euthanasia, fornication, and so on. In 1995, she's invited to the National Prayer Breakfast here in Washington. And this is what she said. Now imagine this huge crowd, all these dignitaries. She said, "America is impoverished. It is a poverty to decide that a child must die so that you may live as you wish. Please don't kill the child. I want the child. I'm willing to accept any child who would be aborted and give that child to a married couple who will love the child and be loved by the child." The audience at the end of her address all rose with a great applause, except four people: President and Mrs. Clinton, Vice President and Mrs. Gore. It's awful to be a slave to ideology. How beautiful it is to live in the freedom of God's love. So my brothers and sisters, as we think of this gospel, you and I have to be sure we love Jesus first and foremost. Because only when we love Jesus and live by his truth can we love others as we should. Only then can we have a just world. Only then can we have a world of peace. We're called to be the light, to be the light of Christ. Are you ready to be that light? May God bless you.